We are up to Daf Pei Dalet Omer Aleph. We're discussing an argument between Rav and Shmuel. If you have a courtyard shared by a number of houses, then you have an apartment block, and you have a porch, and off the porch you have a number of flats, and the people in the flats all make an eruv between themselves on their porch. The people in the courtyard make their own eruv. And we're talking about if there's a third property in between them, who has access to that property? Do they both? So they need to make an eruv between themselves, otherwise neither can carry, or it belongs to one. So we said whoever has easier access belongs to that one. But then we said, what about if one of them has to lower and one of them has to rise? So the access, they both have difficult access, but one is easier than the other. Rav says the fact is that it's not so simple for both. Therefore, they are both equal, treated equally. But according to Shmuel, the one who has to drop it has less work to do than the one who has to raise it. So therefore, it belongs to the one who does shilshul rather than the one who has to raise. So we asked a question. Now we're going to continue further asking questions for our Mishnah. So in fact, this is the Rav Huna that we mentioned yesterday. This is where Rav Huna is going to make his comment. Tonight, we're right in the middle of the page, about 12 lines from the top of the page, that paid Dalet Amud Aleph. Now we learned, Chulyas HaBoyer, you have a pit, and you dug the pit out, and you took the sand, and you made either like a perimeter around the boyer. So now it rises above the ground, and Hasela, or a boulder, Shehen Gvoyin HaSodav, they're both 10 tefachim high. Who do we assign it to? The marpeset, give it to the marpeset. The way we learn right now is the marpeset, you know, the porch takes you up, you have to walk up some stairs to our apartments. And how do they get water from this pit? By lowering their pails. And the people in the courtyard, how do they get water? They have to raise their pails above the wall to get into the pit. So we see that we give it to the one of the shulshul. Clear proof to Shmuel. If it's less than tefachim, then we give it to the chatzah. Clear proof to Shmuel that shulshul is easier than rising. Nobody, there's no shulshul there. We're talking about a case where the apartments come right off the porch. So for them, it's flush to the height of the porch. So there's no lowering. That's why the access is given to them. It makes sense to sell in a case of a boulder or the same height as the porch. A pit, even if the perimeter of the boyer is equal to the porch, but they have to lower the pail into the water. So they're lowering. The people in the courtyard have to raise and lower again. And it seems that we give it to the people who lower it to upstairs. Isn't that proof to Shmuel? I'm talking about a pit full of water. And so therefore, if we're talking about a pit full of water, so the water level is equal to the top of the perimeter. So it's, again, flush with the people living on the porch. That's why they have access. Not because they have to lower anything. So you might have a chseida. As they take water from the port, from the pit, and we can learn that on Shabbos, we already had before, that we made it much easier for people to draw water on Shabbos. You know, we made a mechitza tuluya, suspended mechitza, valid only when it comes to water. If you have a pit between two courtyards, and we can learn about it in the next few pages as well. So if there's water, they're allowed to take water, it eventually gets lower. And yet the Mishnah seems to say the entire Shabbos, it always belongs to the people of the Marpesa. They're the ones that have rights to the water, not the people in the courtyard. Says the Gemara, Kim the Chimalia Shari. We had it before, a concept that if it's mut to the beginning of Shabbos, it remains mut to the entire Shabbos. Since the beginning of Shabbos, the pit was full of water. So therefore, even later on during the day, during Shabbos, if you miss out on the water, it's still good. On the contrary, since if you take water out, it becomes forbidden, so even when you fill it, it becomes also on the contrary. Since the water is meant to be taken out, it's not just an ad hoc thing, it's meant to be taken out, it's as if at the beginning of Shabbos, the water is not even there. So on the contrary, it's like shilshul, and yet clearly the Brayta says here that you give it to the people on the porch for the water. El Rabbi, who said it's talking about water here? I'm talking about a boyer full of fruits. So you know, the same question is, you can take some of the fruits, you can make use of the fruits on Shabbos, and it gets lower. And yet the Mishnah says, always, it belongs to the people of Mapeset. No, so you know, the same question. And so you know, we're talking about fruits that you did not yet give Maisa to, and you don't give Maisa on Shabbos, so therefore it's Muktzah. If it's Muktzah, it's not going to drop on Shabbos at all. They can have approved you. The Ketan, it says, do me the seller. We bring two examples, a pit and a boulder. Shmami, no, it's the same thing. The same thing, why do you have to have both cases? since you tell me that we're talking about in the case of the pit, it's not really lowering it to the bottom, to the ground. We're talking about fruits, and fruits are mukta. So therefore, you know, if we're talking about water, there's a chiddush in water. That even though, like Shmuel, because it's shulshul to the guys on top because the water gets lower, and still we give it to them because shulshul is easier than to raise your hand. Fine. Because, you know, we call zrik, throwing, because shulshul is easier. But now you tell me they're both exactly the same, and on top of them are both exactly the same, and therefore it's flush to the mapeset, give it to the mapeset. So why do you need to give two examples basically saying the same thing? Because the boy that you're talking about is filled with fruits and reaches the top of the perimeter, which is the same as the boulder. So what chiddush are you telling me? Says the Gemara, boulder, the lekel migza. When it comes to a boulder, there's nothing to be goizer, so we give it to the mapeset. Abba boy, when it comes to a pit, when it comes to a pit, maybe we should make a gzeira. Why? Zimnin de malya bepeiros hakanan. This time it happens to be fruits that you didn't give ma'isa from, so it's muktzah. But maybe next time, maybe people don't realize these nuances. So they'll think that always the fruits inside, the people upstairs are the ones who have rights. But in fact, if the fruits you did give ma'isa from, then eventually it'll deplete, and then it'll be equal. This person will drop, and this person will have to do zrika. And according to Rav, they are both have the same kind of axis, and if we need an eidiv, we can take any fruits. But we wouldn't know that. We would think you make exeidiv. Let's see if we need both. Okay, says the Gemara further. We should continue with this argument between Rav and Shmuel. Toshma coming here. Anshe chotzer v'anshe liya. People in the courtyard, people upstairs, sheshokhu, they forgot, v'lo iru. They did not make an eidiv between them, no, between each other. Between themselves, they made it, but they didn't make between the people in the courtyard and the people upstairs. Anshe chotzer mishtamshim basara tachtayim. The people in the chotzer can use, we're talking about the wall of the house, which is inside the courtyard. And they're allowed to use the part of the wall, that peg sticking out, the lower 10 tefachim. For them, that's successful. And any pegs in the top 10 tefachim for the people upstairs, for them it's pretty accessible, so it's theirs. So for them it's called Pesach. If the people on the bottom, they have to, you know, do Zrika. Ketzer, what do you mean? Ziz. Let's say you have some kind of a peg sticking out. Yaitse minakaisel. That's protruding from the wall is lemata ma'asara, the bottom 10 tefachim belongs to the chotzer. Lemaila ma'asara, if you have like an eaves or something sticking out from the wall, lemaila ma'asara is above 10 tefachim, la'aliyah belongs to people upstairs. What about beine beine? Let's say it's 30 tefachim high, so the top 10 you tell me belongs to upstairs, the bottom 10 belongs to downstairs, the chotzer courtyard. What about the middle 10? It seems clearly the middle 10 is Asa. Why is the middle 10 Asa? Because both of them don't have access. For one of them it's shulshul, lowering. For one of them it's zrika up. And we treat them both equally, that they both are equal owners, and therefore they need to make an order if they want to be carried there. It's a proof to Rav and a kasha Shmuel. Because Shmuel says that shulshul is considered more accessible than zrika. Says the Gemara, Omer Nachman, who told you we're talking about a 30 tefachim wall? Hachem Ha'askin, and Betisha Asa Askin, a 19 tefachim wall. And there's one Z sticking out, right? So there's this thing protruding from the wall that's sticking out. If it's below 10 tefachim, it's lezeb pesach. For the downstairs, it's an opening lezeb shulshul. For upstairs, they have to drop it. So of course, it belongs to downstairs. If it's in the top 10, lezeb pesach, lezeb zik, then it's accessible for the guy on top. And for the bottom, they have to throw up, and if it belongs to them. No proof either way. Okay, Toshma. When it says 19 tefachim, it doesn't really mean exactly 19, because then you'll have a problem. There's one tefach that overlaps for both, and that tefach will be a problem. It means it dropped less than 20. Says the Gemara, Toshma, come, I'll bring you another proof. From a Gemara later. Shtei gizus trois. Let's say you have two gizus trois. Let's say, like, by the way, Rashi explains that you have two beams coming out from the wall, and then you put a board on top of it that you can stand on. So that's a gzustra. So you have two of these gzustrois, two porches. Zul ma'ilam zu. One is higher than the other. We're talking about this water down below. One is higher than the other. And now the way they are is not one directly on top of the other. They're moved away from each other, but they're close to each other. But one is higher, one is lower. Now it says they made over here. Now this gzustra would be rishus yachid, right? Because it's high and it's four tvachim by four tvachim. The yam underneath, the water that's flowing underneath, is a karmelis. So how can you draw water from a karmelis to a rishus yachid? So they must have made some kind of a mechitza on that gzustra. And the Mishnah there says beimel ma'ila beimel mata. Machlek is showing exactly what that means. And Rashi seems to learn whether you made the porch the 10 tefachim mechitza on top of the porch, or whether you hung it to the porch and you made it facing down towards the water below, and you have a hole right in middle of your gezustra, and through that hole you lower your bucket, and or. Other than the Rambam learns that the mata means you made a mechitza around the bottom where the water is flowing, you made some kind of mechitza there. And we imagine as if the mechitza that you made extends all the way down to the water and goes all the way up to the porch, and we're very lenient when it comes to water, that we can do these kind of things. It's called a mechitza tluya. Okay, that's the case we're not over there. So you have these two gezustrais that are apart from each other. The top one had a hole, and the bottom one did not have a hole. So the top one, when he wants to lower, all they have to do is lower a bucket to the water, and that's how they get the water. The bottom one also has access to the top porch, but they first have to throw it upwards to the top porch, and then the bucket then goes through the hole. So that they do two activities. It goes up to the porch, and then it goes down to the bottom. So one is like a zoidik, and one is direct. So the people in the top porch, they're just dropping it, they're just doing shulshul, and the bottom porch have to do zrik as well. So the Mishnah says, stay in hasudis. Since they both have access, so they need to make an eder between themselves. They didn't. They both usher, because they both equally have the right to collect the water, so they both have equal access. Let's say they built this mechitza together in partnership. Otherwise, why does the people in the bottom have any right through the top porch? So what does he close from here? For the top porch, it's purely shilshul. For the bottom porch, it's zrik as well. And shilshul. And yet it says they're both equal. Isn't that an ayat to Rav? Even though one might have a little bit easier access than the other one, they still can treat as equal. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Adam Ha'ava, so it's like a Kash and Shmuel. Amar Rav Adam Ha'ava, Beboyim B'nei Tachtoyne, Derech L'yeinu L'malot. Who told you that they're throwing the pail up? They actually have ladders that allow them to walk up to the top porch, and then they lower it just like the other people lower it. They're exactly the same. So that's what. So therefore, they both have equal access. That's how Shmuel is going to learn. Okay. they have a ladder that takes them upstairs, and they do the same shulshul as the people upstairs, and that's why the tree is equal. That is how Shmuel will learn. Abayis is another answer. Remember, this whole Gemara is talking about, you have two different groups of people, and we're talking about it regarding a third domain, and you know, if they have equal access, it's a problem. If one has better access than the other one, if one has, you know, absolute access, the other one doesn't, then you know, we give it to one who has absolute access, and then we have a Machlokes Rav Shmuel, and one has a relative better access than the other one. Abayi says, maybe he's talking about a case where it's not really a third domain. Why isn't it a third domain? Abayi, we're going to kaimi betei chasori dahadodi, that both porches are that the porch above is less than 10 tefachim above the porch below. So even though one of them has to throw it, one of them has easier, one shoshu, and one has to do zrik as well. And we said before that, you know, the shoshu is easier, but since they're both within 10 tefachim of each other, it's considered as if one reshus. There's no third domain here. So then if you have one reshus, then we don't look at the people in the courtyard, okay, who has it easy in the courtyard, who has it more difficult within the courtyard, no, who has to participate. Every member in that courtyard has to participate because it's all one common reshus. So same thing here, because the two porches are within 10 tefachim of each other, they're considered contiguous, it's considered like one big porch, and therefore, I don't care if some people in the porch, you know, they have to walk up, you know, hill, and other people are flat, it makes no difference. If you're all on the same porch, you all have equally to be donate to contribute towards this aidiv. So when do we talk about Rav Shmuel? Not only is a third rishus altogether, and then we look at who has easier access. The rishus is not part of either one. But you know, let's say we porches would be at least 10 tefachim apart. Well, like we said before, courtyard and upstairs, they're more than 10 tefachim apart. But over here, it's all the same. Yeah, so they so again, Abai says could go into Kaimi, they're both within Tetzvachim, each other. So therefore, there's like one big porch. So the Gemara, are you going to ask me if according to Abai, the whole vert here is not because one is Shulshan, one is Zika, but rather because it's like one big porch. So why do you have to tell me that they made for the top and they didn't make for the bottom, made a hole for the top and they make a hole for the bottom and so on? What's the relevance of that? Who cares? So the Mishnah is trying to tell you a smaller chiddush and a bigger chiddush. Not tell you if only the bottom one had made his the hole and they had the fences all around him. Surely it's also why? Because they're within 10 tefachim of each other. Of course, and the guys on top use the guys on the bottom. So of course they ask each other. There's no question about it. So even though the chiddush here is that even though they made only the top and not the bottom, so we would have thought that even though it's considered one reshus, but the guys on top have it so easy. All they have to do is drop their buckets. The guy on the bottom have to raise the bucket, throw the buckets to the top, and then drop it. So maybe even though it's considered one reshus, we would have thought that in one chatzah, if people in one chatzah, you know, that the top is flat and then the other half of the chatzah is a 45 degree decline slope, maybe the people in the bottom are not considered like, you know, share this people on top. The people on top have much easier access. We would have thought the roof on top, sorry, the porch on top has such easier access. Maybe they're the ones who have rights and the guys in the bottom, even though they're so close, but because they have to throw it up first, they're not part of it. Sagami with Lakino Zebanachas, Zebekasha, Laysville, Zeshatishmanachas, Kamashlon, Kartichu, Kivin, the Begun, Sarekaminen, because they're within 10 from each other, Asna Hadodi, it's one big porch, and we with one big porch, we don't really care, you know, who has it easier, who has it harder, and they ask it on each other unless they make an eider between each other. Just like a Nachman said, the name of Shmuel, that a gag has samuch l'shus rabim. If you have a roof that is next to a l'shus rabim, if you have a roof next to l'shus rabim, sorry. In other words, you have a roof of a house. One side is Shus HaRabim, the other side is a courtyard. The house goes to face the courtyard. So the roof, obviously, well, there's a ledge from the roof, overhangs, and it goes in the courtyard. But one side of the roof is Shus HaRabim, face Shus HaRabim. And then you have Tzorich Sulam Kavua Lahatira. You need to be able to carry on that roof that will say that the people Shus HaRabim don't really have access to that roof. You need a fixed ladder to be Mata. You need a fixed ladder. So that the fact that you have a fixed ladder from the roof going to the aliyah shows that the roof is meant for the people in the house and upstairs and not for anybody else. We're talking about a ladder from the people who live upstairs to the roof to allow you to carry from this porch, to allow you to carry from the porch to the roof. Because by making a ladder, you showed us that this roof is not here to serve the people in Shus HaRabim. This roof is actually here to serve the people in the house, the people upstairs. So it seems it has to be a permanent ladder. Why a permanent ladder? Sulam kavui in, sulam adalev, not a temporary ladder. Why? Because a temporary ladder can be pulled away, and once you pull it away, no longer so self-evident that this roof is here to support the people living upstairs. The roof maybe is to help people in the public street. Now, l'chayde, my timer, what's the reason, l'chayde, what does the roof have to do with people's street? The roof belongs to the house, it belongs to people upstairs. Lav mashum, isn't it because the kivan de betei chasora, since it must be talking about a case that this porch is less than 10 tefachim from the Shus HaRabim, and therefore, and this proves my point, Abaye says. My point is that if it's less than 10 tefachim, I don't care who has more access, less access. If it's less than 10 tefachim, it's considered like, in a way, part of the Shus HaRabim unless you do something to separate from Shus HaRabim. So therefore, because the roof is less than 10 tefachim, betei chasora, the hadodi, so since it's less than 10 tefachim to the people of Shus HaRabim, it's as if it part of Shus HaRabim as well. So it's like the struggle. It belongs to the people upstairs, it belongs to Shus HaRabim, and that's why you have to have this permanent ladder. So it proves my point that if it's less than 10 tefachim apart, those two porches, it's considered like one. And that's why they're both common owners. And here's Shus HaRabim. If it's less than 10 tefachim, Shus HaRabim, it's considered like one, that this porch, that this roof, which is also the porch, is belongs to the Shus HaRabim as much as it belongs to the people upstairs. And that's why you have to do something to take it away from the people of Shus HaRabim. Says the Gemara, "Om Maskel Papa." No, says Abaye. I don't see the proof from here. Could I have another way of learning pshat? Maybe it really is 10 tefachim, and therefore it has nothing to do with 10 tefachim. It's above 10 tefachim, it belongs to the Aliyah. It should belong to the Aliyah. So why do you need a ladder at all? Because we're talking about a case where Shusha Rabbim is actually using the roof. Now, even though we learned in Gemara Shabbos of tests, that if you have a single thing, Shusha Rabbim, only if it's 9 tefachim high, we have a concept, Rabbim Mekaspim Olav. We also had an 8 in the Flam Gimel, that we had, you know, a lot of people hang their coats on it. Once it's 10 tefachim and above, people Shusha Rabbim don't use it. So it says that Papa, no, because it's heavy. It's, and heavy things you don't pick it up so high. But maybe Dilma Kisharabi Mikasmulov, people will use it even though it's 10 Tvachim high or 15 or 20 Tvachim high. How? It becomes Silva Sudra. What about they're using it for the hats and for the kerchiefs? It's very, very hot out there. They can, you know, can hardly bear it. So they take the hat off, put it on there for a few minutes to let their head cool off. And then they take it. So because they are actually using it, even though they have no right to use it, but you know the law is that we'll have Gemara Baba Kama. If you have a laneway and people use it, like an easement, that the public has used it for a long time, they have now certain rights. So over here also. That's why you need a permanent ladder. Nothing to do with the fact that's within 10 tefachim. You know, prove it. Amri Mishmuel, said if you name Mishmuel, another din from Rabbi Yehuda Mishmuel. Boyd shebein shtei chatzedes. Let's say you have a pit between two chatzeres. Mufleg is mekaisleze arbo. Mekaisleze arbo. You have a boyer that they have two courtyards, and there's in between there's a open land, no man's land, and there's a pit there, and there's a little laneway, and there's a pit there, and nobody lives there. So it's right. So it's not also to anybody because nobody lives there. And the pit of water, or this little, you know, well, it finds itself, or this pit, the cistern, finds itself right there in that laneway, and it's distant from both walls, four tefachim. Because we learned before, remember, it's within four tefachim, it's part of that wall, but it's distant both walls. Because if we learned before, we learned later, that if the bird is within four tefachim, it's as if the bird belongs, and if it's within four tefachim of both, as if there's two ownerships here, and then you need to make an eidav between them. Otherwise, both of them have control. Shushnei shaletes boy. Until you make an eidav, or you make a mechitza that's hanging, and so on. Now, so what happened? You have a boy between two courtyards in this laneway. It's more than four tefachim from this wall, more than four tefachim from this wall, so there's no owner here. So what do? You want to carry? This guy puts out some kind of a board, or a beam, or a plank. Doesn't matter how wide, we don't care so much about the dimensions. You stick it out from the wall, all the way to the pit. The pit is six tefachim from the wall, so you have this board that's six tefachim long. And you fill it umemalei, and then you fill along this board through your wall. You have an open cavity in your wall, and you bring water there. Why? Since it's more than four tefachim, neither of them really have ownership. So neither of them aser to the other one. Either both are sharing a reshus in a laneway, but since nobody lives in that laneway. As if nobody walks there either, and nobody really uses it, it's only used through the airspace. The only thing we do in this laneway is we have a cavity in the walls, and we put, you know, the buckets go through there and pick up the water. It's only through the air. And so technically, there's nothing here, asr. No ownership, it's free, nobody asks on anybody. And we only decided to make a ziz, only to be, it should be a heker, that they shouldn't do anything else there but this. Because if you want to use the actual lane, but then you need to make an eidav between the two. So you make a small little heck, and that's enough. Says the Gemara, he himself says, afilu kanya. He says you don't even need a ziz, even a reed is sufficient, which is even smaller than a board that's coming out. So says the Gemara, this dinner Rabbi Yehuda, the Shmuel, he learned it from his Rebbe called Shmuel. He had two Rebbes. First he had Rav, and after Rav passed away, he moved to Shmuel. But if he would learn from Rav, Rav says elsewhere, what did Rav say? Rav said, "Ein Adam Eiser al Chaveira." He said a person does not aser on his friend derech Avir. Because he says that a person, if it's more than four tefachim away this pit, and you want to stick your pail out and so on and so forth, and you have to throw the pail to get there, he says, you don't need anything. You don't need anything at all to because there's nobody walks in, nothing else. You don't need anything to take it. So he learned it from his Rebbe Shmuel. Which thing did Shmuel say that he learned it from? Is it from the last din that we just said? You have a roof next to you, so you need a permanent roof. And therefore we see that, well, that fits within 10 tefachim of each other. you know, that even though the people in Shazam don't really have access, you still have to do something to show that you're not involved. So therefore, you have to show something there that, you know, make a disease sticking out of the wall to give you the right to go to that bar. You didn't look at a puppet. No, maybe they're talking about like a puppet that people actually use in the Shazam. They put the hats and handkerchiefs there. Ella Mahor from the following din. Ze moitzi ziz. What he meant was not that Rabbi Yehuda's arguing with Shmuel. Rabbi Yehuda learned it from the very first thing Shmuel said. Shmuel said, you need a ziz. Now, ziz normally is not good enough. No, so Rav Yehuda says the idea is a token thing. If it's a token thing, I'll go a bit further and say even a kanya. Elamaha, zem moitzi ziz kosher mali. Just put a little board, that's enough. Vezem moitzi ziz kosher mali. So therefore, and that's good enough. And because he said that, therefore I'm going to learn that all it is the token measure anyway, that's good enough. The apik. So the whole reason is because he had to put something out there. Whole apik. If he wouldn't put anything out there, then Amarinim will say, even through airspace, I ask it unless we do something. So therefore, I learned from him, you have to do something. Once he tells me to do something, I think even a kanya is enough to be a reminder of that. Okay, we'll stop here. And